Good morning and welcome to Smashy Business. We are live from the studio.
Hi guys.
Oops. There's me again. Wow. Wow. I don't even know how to use this. Yeah, okay, great. Are you good with technology?
But, oh my God. I mean, I do come from Gen
that was
Z.
Really
so
embarrassing. Oh my gosh.
I should be smart with technology, but I hate technology.
Okay, nice.
Yes.
You know what? I'm trying to. I find that if you really hate something, you probably should try to embrace it and see how you feel about it. So I keep saying that I hate technology. I hate influencers. But I guess part of me, you know, part of me should embrace technology so I can be better at it, right? Because if
That's
I keep
true.
Saying I hate technology, then I'm never going to progress, and then I'm just going to be stuck in the back with all the other losers. You know
that
what I mean?
That's true. But like, you know, like I've always
not
tried.
Not that you're a loser. Not that you're a loser.
Yeah, but I've true because I've tried, you know, using technology and understanding it on like for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't know why it just doesn't work.
Maybe you're a bit old school, Farah, but. You know what? Go for it. You won't lose anything. Same thing for influencers, by the way.
Yeah.
You know what? When I actually sit down with them, okay, granted, some of them, maybe a lot of them, are pretty kind of vain and a bit shallow. And,
true.
You know, but again, when they show this personality on the internet, they're actually faking it until they make it, right? So even in real life, mm-hmm. when you see them, like for example, I saw Blogger Wannabe, the girl
okay.
behind that Instagram account.
Yes.
She's a Lebanese comedian.
Yes.
And I heard before from a friend of mine who has worked with her that she's very, very antisocial, like extremely. And I saw her at Lee Marketplace, by the way.
Oh.
Pretty cool concept with NFTs. They do mm-hmm. NFTs for influencers and artists, and then you can kind of buy on that platform. So it's pretty nice. But anyway, so Blogger Wannabe was at the Lee Marketplace event, mm-hmm. and I came up to her. She was on by herself the whole time on her phone. I thought my friend was exaggerating when she was saying that she's socially awkward, but very antisocial. But I came up to her once she kind of put her phone down, and I was like, oh, hello, and, you know, Blogger Wannabe, because I find her
yeah.
stuff quite funny, and then she looked at me, and she said, hi, and then, you know, she just, I mean,
oh yeah,
I'm not going to act it out, though. That's one thing I'm not going to embrace acting, but yeah, she was really,
that
really antisocial, and she was kind of walking around by herself the whole time, or with a friend
yeah.
by her side, so Blogger Wannabe, I will embrace influencing, and you can embrace being social, and you can come on the show.
You know, actually, as well, not only that, I feel like what happens with influencers is they are in front of their phone almost the whole time, you know, of specifically like most of their day. So it's easy
yeah.
to like, I don't know, like write a skit and act it out to your phone because no one is really watching you.
Exactly.
Right. So it's
exactly.
it gets harder to them when they are, you know, like when they get famous and they have to face people and they have a lot of fans. And
that's a great point you just made because Blogger Wannabe does everything on her phone.
True.
Her name is Sada, by the way.
Yes.
I keep calling her Blogger Wannabe. But she does everything on her phone. Mm-hmm. Using her camera or with her close friends only. She actually does not. I think she had an interview once, and
yeah.
my friend was involved in that, and she told me she just couldn't. She just couldn't do that interview.
That's true, by the way. Yeah.
And it does make sense, doesn't it? And
it does.
Mm. So, what about you? You're obviously comfortable in front of the cameras.
Yeah, actually, I used to not be comfortable.
Okay.
In front of the cameras.
Yeah.
Like the lights would intimidate me, the camera would intimidate me and so on.
Yeah.
But I've always had a love for speaking, public speaking, ever since I was like a young child.
Nice.
And of course, you know, that translated to me being, you know, on camera, speaking on camera.
How did you
but
fight that? Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I got into modeling.
Oh.
That's how I fought. Literally, if you would
we've
see
got a
first,
model in the house.
Girls.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I got my first
okay.
ad for Apple. Oh my God, the pictures.
Your first ad was for Apple?
Yes.
Farah, that's, I love that you said it so, you know,
casually.
Nonchalant.
It's
like,
so casual, guys. Yeah, it's so, if I would show
we're
you the
finding
pictures,
out a lot about you today.
They're awkward.
And I'm loving it, yeah.
if you'd see the pictures, they're awkward. It's like the moment, because in my head, I know that there's a camera that's taking pictures of me.
Yeah.
And I need to act like, you know, very casual and very like free and normal. and yeah, it looks like, I would eye the camera like this, like.
Did they love your acting skills? Actually, I think there's something there we need to crack. Right? Did they end up using the photos?
Yeah, and I have them, and they look horrific.
They look horrific.
Yeah.
So they're horrific for you, but they're good enough for Apple.
Yeah.
You should give yourself more credit, Farah. I think that's what you're.
Maybe I'm too hard on myself. I don't know.
And you're saying you don't like technology. It's practically written in the stars for you.
Yeah, same.
So we're going to go to the news. Mina's Americana reports a 51.8% drop in Q1 net profit and revenue. That's because of the boycotts. Mm-hmm. I should stop reading the headlines like that. Oh my God. I should just say them in a normal way, like a normal person. I think the news is, yeah, people just complicate the news sometimes,
that is
right?
True. Like it is complicated.
People want to hear
depending
the
on
news.
The news. It is complicated.
You're right. Sometimes it is. In this case, however, Americana is the largest quick service restaurant operator in the MENA region. So it disclosed a 51.8% decline, as we mentioned. The net profit and revenue for Q1 was $28 million. Why? Because of boycotts due to the Gaza genocide. So they had a seasonal sales slump, also associated to the Ramadan period, which is insane, by the way, because people buy a lot during Ramadan, right?
That is true.
Waleed Shihabi on the show, who I'm really glad that you got to meet, because he's such a good conversationalist, isn't he? And but he told me that he owns, he has shares in some restaurants.
Yeah.
And one of the restaurants had people not only dining, you know, at the restaurant, I mean, had people not only dining three times, like eating three meals a day, but eating four meals a day. So they had even more people because you go breakfast, lunch, iftar, and dinner, right?
That's true. You know, the thing is, honestly, the drop in revenue is very expected, and it's very, I would say, fair because of the boycotts. You know, like we had today on the morning the content creator Flywood Haifa. And we spoke about Palestine and as well how she contributes with brands and so on.
Yeah.
And of course, like, forget about that. But she did say a point of like boycotting brands for sure did work. It does work. And this is, but for example, like now brands do fear not only the, I would say, big people, but as well, you know, the general people. Right?
Yes.
Because by the way, the generation and the generation and this specifically this generation and everyone, they are more aware. And when they're more aware, they're putting into action. And not only one person is boycotting, it's like a lot of people are boycotting. So it's making a difference.
And they didn't expect that, right?
That's true.
But it was I'm literally getting chills because nobody expected it to be this impactful. And guys, we're not going to go too much into the Americana story. Mm-hmm. You can check it out on Smashy Business Instagram account. I'm going to go to another related story. I'm going to go real quick. I'm just going to let our producers know. I'm going to go to the third story. The U.S. has stopped a bomb shipment to Israel because they're concerned about the ground operations, obviously, in Rafah, southern Gaza, city in southern Gaza. So last week, the U.S. stopped the shipment of thousands of bombs, basically, because they're concerned. That has not even... I don't remember a time in, you know, don't quote me on this, but I don't remember a time in modern history where the U.S. has ever halted a bombing shipment to Israel because they're concerned about Palestine or
that's true
or any other.
But you know what, Lubna, is that at the time it's the whole world is concerned because the genocide that has happened since October 7th, it happened and nothing. It's either going to be this or that. It's black or white. right?
Exactly.
The result is either going to be black or white. Mm. So there's no gray area here. Mm. There's no peace that's going to be made right now until like it's like either like Palestine is going to win or either Israel is going to hopefully not ruin Palestine. Right?
Yeah.
So this is like the whole point, I would say, like at this point as well, it's a lot of politics, you know, coming from Iran, from Russia, from Syria as well, you know, from all around, like a lot of countries are involved in this. There's a lot of politics involved in this.
Yeah, yeah.
So
absolutely.
I definitely would say that at this point, maybe like on a political way that, you know, U.S. is fearing Iran, right? And as well, there is like Korea as well, and a lot of countries.
I mean, let's not get into the politics right now. But what's interesting is the boycott, not just the boycotts, but the politicians are now. You know, that's how far the boycotting and the voice of the people is being heard.
That's
and
true.
We haven't seen that really. I mean, it didn't really work with Ukraine because it was very different. People keep on, you know, I mean, you can't even compare the amount of people who died in Palestine versus Ukraine, which is insane because there's an actual superpower involved in that war, you know. But it's the voice of the people. We haven't seen that, I think, since Vietnam. I mean, we haven't seen Vietnam, you and I, because we're too young, but... I think that was the, you know.
That is true, but as well because... You know,
Iraq as well, sorry. Iraq,
yeah, 100%. Yeah. But as well because the Palestinian, the you know, like, Israel has invaded Palestine since 1947, right? So it has been an ongoing issue. It was not like, you know what, this happened this year.
Right.
Let's now put a stop to it.
Yeah, and you know what else? It was... Actually, the power of social media.
That's true.
I will really say that because the footage was too horrific, and I'm really getting chills speaking about this.
That's true.
Too horrific, and still coming out of Rafah, too horrific to ignore.
That's true. I agree with you.
So, yeah.
100%. And as well, by the way, I would say kudos to this generation because they
Indeed.
Took boycotts really seriously, more than the older generation.
Mm-hmm.
I would find people my age, including me, my sister, my cousins, and everyone, even though we're not Palestinian, but we are sympathizing with Palestine. We feel for them, and we are there to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The power of this generation. The kids are all right. That's what we
true.
Can say.
Yes.
Moving on to the next story, we're going to go to TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this story because TikTok is standing up to the U.S. It's suing the U.S. government because the U.S., it wants to introduce a new law, basically, that mandates ByteDance, which is TikTok's parent company, to divest the popular video app or face a nationwide ban, basically. So the company is arguing, it's suing the U.S., it's arguing that this violates First Amendment rights. Which makes sense. The lawsuit has marked the first legal challenge since Congress passed the law in April. TikTok is saying that the legislation will impede free speech and impact creators and small business owners who rely on the platform, thus breaching their rights under the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Wow, that's actually brilliant and so simple. I love it when there's a solution that's absolutely brilliant. But so simple. It's right in front of you. You can't see it, but it's the ABC.
I agree with you, and as well, you know, because like TikTok it's a small platform, yet with a very
I mean, the company has invested the $1.5 billion to separate its U.S. operations, ByteDance, TikTok's parent company, and it has agreed to oversight by an American company, Oracle. Which is kind of, you know, a little bit ridiculous, but obviously the U.S. always wants to have control over these kinds of things. You guys can check out a little bit more about this on Smashy Business, and yeah, it's good. TikTok CEO Xu Chu emphasized in a video on the app, make no mistake, this is a ban on you and your voice. Again, mm-hmm. going back to the voice of the people.
Yes, of course, you know, because like right now, we mm-hmm. and as well, we can relate this to our story at the beginning, which is like how this generation actually has a they are outspoken. They are not afraid. They are unhinged in their own way.
Exactly.
You know, if their boss pisses them off, you will see a TikToker posting about it.
You know what, Farah? I think we've just had an awakening, you and I, on this show. Because power and social media coming together means that you and I should definitely get into technology TikTok. And influencing.
Oh yes, it's like
that's it. That's what I'm doing today.
Hi guys. So I kind of got pissed off today because A, B, C. Actually, you know, this is like the this is what happens on TikTok. You know.
You know what? It actually makes you feel better throughout your day because you feel more relatable. You feel like you're not alone.
That's true, 100%. And then you find comments like, oh yeah, me too. Oh yeah, this happened to
exactly.
me too. You know what I mean? And mm. I think honestly, like. With this is the fact that, as I said, TikTok might be very small, but it speaks volume, grand volume.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, is TikTok small? It's competing with the other apps, right?
But
well,
you know, like,
we'll look
for
more
example,
into that for next episode.
I don't mean like small in like the sense of like small, but I mean like in the sense of like, you know, they create like short videos.
Ah, okay.
But those short videos
are
like really, they do speak like big volume and like it's actually influential, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? It's like everyone now, it's a lot of businesses, content creators, everyone's on TikTok. Everyone just does TikTok.
You're right. And I feel like we are falling behind, honestly, Farah. I really feel like,
okay.
I mean, why did it take us this long to realize this? What, is it old school? Is it, mm-hmm. what is it?
I think honestly,
it's stubbornness. That's what
I think it's maybe we are very, we are just very, I would say, like we want to commit and hold on to what we thought is like, you know, the traditional way.
Because we look up to the older
old
generation.
One. Exactly.
Oh,
maybe
man.
We should look up to the newer generation.
I think equally, definitely.
I agree.
Farah, I think this is the best conversation we've had so far on the show.
Bring
it here. High five. Yes, that's old school. Some people would cringe at that, but we did it anyway.
Yes.
Okay, guys, we're going to do one story on the show. Mm-hmm. Feel free to log off if you don't want to hear Farah and I speaking. I just thought it would be cool to do it while the cameras are rolling.
Yes.
Let's go, Farah. What was your favorite part of... Farah, what was your favorite part of today's episode?
Speaking about how the young generation is very influential.
Influential?
Let's repeat that.
We're not going to repeat that.
It's influential. Okay. And Generation Z and TikTok because they're all related.
They are all related, especially when it comes to the boycotts, how they're affecting so many companies. Don't worry, Farah. We've all been there on camera. Don't worry. You're relatable.
Yeah,
relatable. We were
Unreal.
Just talking about that.
Unreal.
But we were talking about the power of influence on social media with TikTok's ban in the US, how they're fighting that, how they're asking TikTok users to start a movement to help the platform. So tune into the episode, lots more on the show. Bye-bye. What about the live one? Oh yeah. Oh, sorry. We're still live. What about the live one? Sorry, guys. Forgot about you there for a minute. Excuse me. So watch us. Watch us. You know the drill. Smashy.tv. If you would like. I see you laughing there, Cairo. Thanks. Smashy.tv. If you'd like the video version of this, or get us wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you tomorrow.